Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we will head to the nation's capital and learn more about the Washington football team and the crazy week that they have endured. Coming up in exactly 2 hours, we'll be joined by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. He will be in studio for the entire 4 o'clock hour. It's football. It's Friday. It's 4 o'clock. Very happy to be joined by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. So let's update you on everything that's going on with your Kansas City Chiefs today. Maybe you've been busy. Maybe you've had a long day of Zooms and a lot of hard work and meetings. Let's update you on everything that is happening with the Kansas City Chiefs. So Tyreek Hill did practice today for the Kansas City Chiefs. If you've been following this team, you basically know Reed's practices. If you don't practice and participate on Fridays, then you are not playing in the game. Tyreek Hill practiced today. I would expect him to play. Joe Tooney, who missed Wednesday and Thursday, practiced today. So I would expect him to try to give it a go on Sunday against the Washington football team. We now know Blake Bell out for Sunday's game against Washington. Chris Jones out for Sunday's game against Washington. Charvarius Ward also out on Sunday against Washington. So you're going to be going into another game shorthanded defensively, minus your arguably best defensive player and best edge rusher in Chris Jones, and maybe your best corner in Charvarius Ward. This is the NFL. You're going to have to deal with injuries. Attrition is a part of the game. But Rob, there's sort of an elephant in the room surrounding injuries in this Kansas City Chiefs team that we haven't really talked about so far this week. We've talked a lot about the defense and Jaron Reed and Frank Clark. We talked a lot about Nick Bolton being inserted into this lineup and Willie Gay coming back for the first time. We talked a lot about Daniel Sorensen. What's Josh Gordon's role going to look like? We've talked about a lot of players on this team, but there's one player that got injured in the last game that we haven't really talked a whole lot about. That player is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, I bring him up because I haven't really seen, heard, or read too many people that worried about Clyde Edwards-Helaire not playing on Sunday against Washington, being placed on the injured reserve list. And it got me thinking, well, what does that mean? That has to be a pretty big indictment on what we think the player is. Also a pretty big indictment on the draft pick within itself. If you're telling me that a team can lose its starting running back and the player, just by definition, who has touched the ball the most over the first five games of the season, and nobody bats an eyelash, no one thinks that that changes anything for the offense, what does that say? What does it speak to that player's productivity? What does it speak to that player's value in the organization and in this offense? It has to mean that he's not that important, right? Like, if they didn't have Tyreek Hill, we talk about it. If they didn't have Travis Kelce, we talk about it. If they were missing one of their big offensive linemen, let's say that Joe Tooney didn't play in this game. Let's say Orlando Brown didn't play in this game. Hell, let's say that Trey Smith didn't play in this game. We would have talked about it, right? But they're not going to have Clyde Edwards-Helaire in this game, and nobody bats an eye about it. We think that Derek Gore can step in and give you the same level of production. They called up Elijah McGuire. We think Elijah McGuire and the combination of the other options that they have are going to be able to step right in and give you the running spark that you need. What does that mean? It has to have some meaning. Earlier this week, Darrell Williams met with the media, and he is obviously excited about this opportunity.
That would mean a lot to me, you know, because I worked my whole life to be a starter in the league. And, you know, I finally get this chance. I finally get this opportunity, and I just got to make the most of it.
Not a single person that cares more about the running back position with this team than you are. What do you think this means? Because our top text, instead of being negative, how about thinking they're confident in their other backs? That's one way to look at it. But the biggest draft pick resource that they've spent since Brett Veach has been here has been on a player that nobody thinks moves the needle. So we can talk about being confident in the other backs, and I'm confident in the other backs. I think that Darrell Williams is going to be able to provide the spark that you need offensively. I think that Jerick McKinnon is going to be good enough to hold you over for the next couple of weeks. But doesn't that speak to the resources? Doesn't that speak to sort of what you've been complaining about, Rob, when it comes to this offense? That if we're talking about how much confidence we have in all these other backs, and we're confident in Derek Gore, and we're confident in Jerick McKinnon, and we're confident in Darrell Williams, doesn't that then answer the question that maybe you shouldn't have spent a first-round draft pick on a player that people don't think that you need for this upcoming week or this stretch of football or doesn't think moves the needle? Rob, I want you to chime in on this because there's nobody more passionate about the running backs than you. We haven't really talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but we have to acknowledge that if you spend a first-round draft pick on a player and the fans don't seem to think it matters whether you're there or not there, what does that mean about your value and role in this offense?
It means what I've been saying all along, which is that running back is the second least important position on the offense in 2021. Doesn't mean they don't have a role. Doesn't mean they can't be productive. It just means they don't have their value. And any other first-round pick the Chiefs had, we'd be talking ad nauseum about the fact he's out 4 to 6 weeks. Most people don't care in Kansas City. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. We talked more on this show about Marlon Mack, a potential replacement the Chiefs are, in theory, kicking the tires on, than the actual injury itself. Running back in 2021 is what it is. It's not important. And not having Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't matter to people because it's running back. And it only furthers and emboldens my stance. The Chiefs were wrong for taking a running back in week one.
But really quickly, though, you say that, though, but we watch the NFL. There's some running backs that change the offense. There's some running backs that if they weren't there, it would have an impact on it. So I'm with you. Maybe running back doesn't have the greatest importance in the world, but the ability to run the football and having a running back that you trust and you think is a productive player moves the needle for a team. If the Saints lost Alvin Kamara, it'd be an issue. It'd be a talking point. You would think, hey, our offense is going to be different. How are we going to make up this production? I haven't heard any cause for concern from any single Chiefs fan on how you're going to be able to make up not having Clyde Edwards-Helaire there. That's, I would say, a pretty big indictment on the player and his production so far from what we've seen, that nobody seems to be concerned about how you're going to make up for that guy not being there.
You're right. There are teams in the NFL that when they lose running back, it's a big deal. But teams who are on Super Bowl trajectories, or at least we at one point believe are on a Super Bowl trajectory, are not hamstrung by the lack of running back because their team is so great at quarterback. The teams we associate with Super Bowl glory are all elite at quarterback, and they're kind of whatever, we'll figure it out at running back. If tomorrow Austin Eckler was out, like it broke, news broke, no Austin Eckler for the Chargers this weekend. You think Chargers fans are sweating we don't have Austin Eckler? No. They're a Super Bowl threat because they have Justin Herbert. Last night, if Leonard Fournette didn't play, are Bucs fans going, how do we beat the Eagles without Leonard Fournette? No, because it doesn't matter. On teams that have Super Bowl aspirations, which are teams that have elite quarterback play, the running back is irrelevant, which is why the 4 to 6 weeks for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, while it stinks for him because I know he wanted to have a big season, it just doesn't matter if this team. You can get, what, 75% of Clyde Edwards-Helaire's productions from Darrell Williams at pennies on the dollar. That's how the Chiefs and all teams that have elite quarterbacks with Super Bowl aspirations should treat running back. And what we're describing right now is why I get irritated the Chiefs to date have not treated it like that.
Text line 913-576-7610. I think this means that we have a really dynamic offense. I would agree with you. I think at the core, that's exactly what it means. That taking one player of his caliber off the offense doesn't really move the needle, doesn't really change things. I also would then contend on the flip side, though, it also says that they don't need that player to be a dynamic offense. There are some players on this offense that they need to be dynamic. If they didn't have Orlando Brown, it'd be a big deal that they lost their left tackle. If they didn't have Joe Tooney or he was unable to go in this game, it'd be a conversation. Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith. There's players on this team, and I'm not even talking about some of the skill position players that are fairly obvious players, that we think sort of move the needle and have an impact on Kansas City and their ability to go out and win or lose football games. The highest draft pick for Brett Veach just doesn't really seem to move the needle one way or the other. You think you can get 85, 90% of the production from an undrafted running back in Darrell Williams. You think you can get the same production from a guy in Jerick McKinnon who basically came off the street. The same level of production from Derek Gore, who has been on the practice squad all season. And if any team thought that he was a 53-man caliber running back, could have easily just taken Derek Gore away from you. That's where we are with Clyde Edwards-Helaire at this point in his career. Coming up on the other side, we'll give you a chance to win a prize. I'll tell you how. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll head to the nation's capital to learn a little bit more about the Washington football team. We'll also talk about Zach Ertz, who was traded today from the Philadelphia Eagles to the Arizona Cardinals. We'll do that coming up in a bit, and a trend that I think has started to really emerge in the NFL. But we're going to give you a chance to win a prize. You have to text in. It's the easiest way for us to track it. I'm going to have Rob on it, 913-576-7610. Now, I don't know if you guys heard this story or not, but Ben Simmons has been asked to be traded from the Philadelphia 76ers. I think it's very clear right now that Ben Simmons doesn't have a whole lot of trade value, so like most of us, he had to go back to work. Now, you know how at the end of the relationship is when you start to realize all the things you didn't really like about the person? I always hated that you did. Well, you said you used to love when I did this. All the dirty little secrets are now coming out about Ben Simmons. So one of the stories that came out today was that Ben Simmons took a COVID test before Game 7 against the Atlanta Hawks, and it came back inconclusive. And several members of the 76ers felt that he was going to use COVID as a reason to get out of Game 7 against the Atlanta Hawks. Now, he eventually played in the game. I guess you can say that he played, but that's the game where he had the chance at the easy dunk and he passed it up. And that became sort of the breaking point between his relationship with his employer. So what I want to do today is 913-576-7610 for a 610 Sports prize pack directly mailed to you from The Drive. I want your best I got out of work and or important thing story. So I'll tell mine, Rob will tell his, we'll start reading text, and we'll get whoever has the best I got out of work or important thing story, reason, excuse, we'll give you a 610 prize pack. So Rob, I was in college at the time, and I'm not proud of this, but I was a young boy, and I really wanted to go to Missouri, Kansas. You might remember this game. This was the second to last time that Missouri beat Kansas at Mizzou Arena. This was the Zaire Taylor game. You remember Zaire Taylor hit that big shot at Mizzou Arena and he stormed the court? I still have the picture of storming the court. Only time I've ever been on the court of a basketball game was after that shot. So me and one of my good friends, his name was Bobby Wilkerson, we decided at like 1 o'clock that day, we're going to MUK. It was a big Monday. It's probably like a 4-hour drive from Joplin. If we left there, we'd be able to get to Columbia by 8 o'clock, and we'd be able to see the game. But I had a big test in business that next day. So, Rob, you know what I did? I emailed the professor and told them that my close cousin was coming home from overseas in Iraq, that I was driving to Kansas City to see him, and that I would need an extension to take the test. I was trying to think of the most foolproof thing to get me out of this because during that time, who was going to say no to that? I hadn't seen my cousin for a while. It kind of was a true story. My cousin was going to be home. Now, they weren't going to be home when I said they were going to be home, but that was just a little omission that I left out of the story. Of course, I got my extension. I got to go to the game. Missouri won. I ended up getting a B, I believe, on that test. Nobody was harmed in the making of this story. But that's not a story that I'm proud of. I used something very serious so I could go watch a sporting event. The same way that Ben Simmons tried to use COVID potentially to get out of work. I know I'm not the only one that's done something this foul. So big reason why I want you guys to tell me the story so I know I'm not alone in all of this. Now, I got a big boy job. If I don't feel like coming to work, you know what I do? I take a PTO day. I don't got to lie anymore. I don't got to come up with any stories anymore. I'll either fake being sick, I'll come up with a stomach issue, or it'll just be a very simple, hey, Spec, I'm just not feeling it today, man. I'm going to go ahead and put my time in and somebody can get me today. I don't got to do all those things anymore. I moved on up to the deluxe apartment in the sky. Rob, do you have a story of this magnitude before I go to the text line? 913-576-7610 if you are wondering what we're talking about. Ben Simmons, who plays for the Philadelphia 76ers, his teammates believe that he tried to use COVID to get out of a game and faked COVID exposure so he wouldn't have to play in the game. I know I'm not the only one that's done something foul to get out of work or a very important thing. Rob, I know you've got a story.
Well, mine's not as bad as saying that my cousin's come back from overseas. That part was jarring to me. Mine is pretty tamed. I was in high school, and like most high school kids, I had, you know, a dead-end after-school job that, you know, you did to make a little ends meet so you can go out with the fellas on the weekend. The way it worked, it was Mr. Goodsense. The way it worked out is there every once in a while you got strapped with a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. As a high school kid, no one liked Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. It was a miserable existence. No one wanted to not hang out with their fellas or the boys because you had to go cut sandwiches at Mr. Goodsense. So on Thursday, I got told by a friend of mine, hey, we're having a big pickup hoops game. Are you in? And I was like, yes. I have to work, though. Don't worry. I'll get out of that. And I called work. And I told them that an important test I had on Friday for school and that I had to be studying all night for my grades so I can go to college. So I can't come in tonight. I apologize. And they said, no problem. Understand. School. I was scheduled for the following day, that Friday night. That Friday at school, my friends were like, hey, we're all going out to dinner tonight. We're going to hang out. Are you in? I was very much in. I said again, I'm in. Let me just get out of work. Called into work. Told Mr. Goodson Subs and Pastas, hey, here's the deal. I have a very important family dinner. A lot of family members have flown in town for this random Friday to come to see my parents. So I am out. I apologize for not taking the day off. My apologies. I'm not working tonight. They responded, are you coming in Saturday? To which I said, no, I'm not coming in Saturday either. I'll see you guys Monday for my next shift. So I got out of my weekend shift with a little family dinner and a little bit of schoolwork, none of which was actually accurate, but that's what 17-year-olds do who work at Mr. Goodsense.
Text line 913-576-7610. We want to hear your best get-out-of-work stories. Ben Simmons, at least people on the 76ers, believe that he faked potential coronavirus exposure to potentially get out of a playoff game. I had not heard that story. It is not ending well for Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. If you've got a story, Rob is going to be monitoring the text line. We'll go back and we'll read them and we'll give you a chance to win a prize. One thing before we head to Washington, D.C. to learn a little bit more about the Washington football team. Have you guys noticed the teams that have made trades so far in the NFL? Think about it. There have probably been three significant trades made so far this NFL season. C.J. Henderson. Gilmore. Zach Ertz. Stephon Gilmore, Zach Ertz, and C.J. Henderson are probably the three significant trades made so far this season in the NFL. All of those teams were traded to a team with a quarterback on a rookie contract. Arizona, quarterback on a rookie deal. Carolina, quarterback on a rookie deal, even though it makes no sense how Sam Darnold is still in his first five seasons in the NFL. I only bring that up to point out it's going to be very difficult for the Chiefs to really add resources over the next 3 to 4 weeks. I'm not saying it's impossible for you to do so. You're going to have the opportunity to do it. But a contract like Zach Ertz, The Chiefs are not taking on that kind of contract. Don't get lost in the position. That kind of contract. Like what happened with Gilmore. It was $6 million to take on Stephon Gilmore. Chiefs don't have it right now. If the Chiefs are going to make a trade at the deadline, which I still think there's a possibility, they're only going to be in the C.J. Henderson market. It's going to be player still on his rookie contract. We can get him for the absolute cheap, but he's probably not a player that we're going to be able to re-sign. We'll give you a sixth or a seventh, or it's going to be like the Marlon Mack trade. Marlon Mack's making $2 million this year. He's also a team's third string running back. So he might get released, and maybe you get a chance to just pick him up just straight up in free agency. Or you have the opportunity to trade a sixth or a seventh low-round pick for another low-risk, high-reward move. But the move that we think can significantly move something for the defense, I just don't know if they're in a financial position because of the contracts they're already locked in to be able to make that kind of move. Coming up on the other side, we'll head to the nation's capital to learn more about the Chiefs' Week 6 opponent. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6. Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Let's head to the nation's capital right now to learn more about the Washington football team. Very happy to be joined by Nick Ashew. He works for 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C. Nick, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing good. Let's start with the defense. I thought last year Washington had arguably one of the three best defenses in the league. It hasn't been the case so far this season. Why is that?
Well, we thought the same thing, too. It's been a surprise to everyone. Some of it was a mirage. I mean, if you look at some of the quarterbacks they played last year, I mean, they're playing backup quarterbacks compared to this season where it's been a complete quarterback gauntlet for them. And that's been one of the biggest things to expose them. The biggest issue, though, has been that the defensive line, which was supposed to be their staple, that was supposed to be what everybody depended on, they're not getting to the quarterback enough. They showed a little bit more against the State, some five-man fronts. They put a little more pressure on Jameis Winston, but you know he still torched them for some big plays because their secondary's not good. So it's like all these different factors are combining for just one really bad defense overall. Landon Collins is absolutely atrocious and has no business being on the field at safety anymore, but they run these plays at times where they've got him disguised as a linebacker and then he drops back in coverage and he's getting burned and it's just like embarrassing. Like he's running as fast as I would run out there. That's how bad it looks. And that's been really one of the issues for them is that their secondary keeps getting burned on top of the fact that the defensive line isn't getting to the quarterback for the most part the way that everybody anticipated and the way we saw last year. Jonathan Allen is one of the few that's really put some pressure on the quarterback. We saw a little bit more from Chase Young this past week, but it's just kind of a combination of everything all at once not looking good for them.
You said a lot there. Let's focus in on the defensive line and inability to get pressure. You maybe haven't watched as much Kansas City as people here have, obviously, but you saw the Super Bowl and you saw the way to beat Kansas City is to get pressure with your front four. On paper, Washington should have a defensive line that should be able to do that, especially with Chase Young. I, like most people, were singing the praises of Chase Young last year and thought he was probably one of the 10 best defensive players in the league. It doesn't sound like things are going that way this season.
Not at all. And you're already having people talk about how he's a bust. They should have taken Justin Herbert instead, which, look, when you need a quarterback on top of that, it's natural for people to have that conversation. I'm going to pump the brakes and not go that far this soon with Chase Young, but he does need to get it together. Look, he deserved to be Defensive Rookie of the Year last year. The way he played the second half of the season was phenomenal. He was a game-changing pass rusher, but he hasn't done that so far this year. Last week was his best game against the Saints, and he had one forced fumble, and that ended up turning into a turnover. Washington got that, but really, other than that, you haven't seen those plays from him. He's as dynamic as really any of the pass rushers in the NFL in terms of his physical abilities, but he really just kind of has one move right now. He doesn't have a lot of different versatile moves to get to the quarterback yet, and most teams know, well, we can still put pressure on him, get two bodies on him at times, and he isn't able to get through that right now. And as you know, look, every great pass rusher in the NFL is going to be the focal point of an offensive line. Hey, watch this guy. He's coming after our quarterback. But the really good ones are able to get through that and find other ways to get to the quarterback and to make a difference. And we're just not seeing that from him right now.
Right now we're talking to Nick Ashew. He covers the Washington football team for 106.7 The Fan. in Washington, D.C. You bring up the quarterback position. We got to talk about it. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he is now injured. Taylor Heinicke has made the transition to being the starting quarterback. This is the direction that I think they should have gone from the very beginning of the season. I thought that Heinicke showed you enough last year in the game against Tampa Bay in the playoffs that he at least should have been given a chance to start the beginning of the season. None of that matters now. He is the starting quarterback for this team. What are the expectations for Heinicke? What do you think the ceiling for Heinicke is?
The ceiling for him, if we're being honest, is good backup quarterback. I mean, he certainly showed in that playoff game that he does have a dynamic set of weapons, right? He can use his legs. He can create. He has, you know, he grew up loving Brett Favre. So there's some Brett Favre type mentality with him, a little bit of a gunslinger, kind of gets out and improvises. But there's also times where he makes really, really bad plays. And if you go back and kind of look at how he's played throughout this year, he always has bad starts, especially in the first quarter, and especially the opening drive for the offense where he's, you know, he's inaccurate, maybe a little too just kind of overly excited. The adrenaline's running and he's overthrowing receivers. He's not that tall, so it makes it a little more difficult for him at times to just kind of see over the offensive line depending what he's doing. But he also does have the ability to help when the plays break down, help when the offensive line isn't able to just block for him, and he's got to kind of run around a little bit. He's led two game-winning drives this year against the Giants and against the Falcons. Now, those aren't the best teams, but he still has the ability to do that. The big thing about him that I will say, because there are some people in D.C. that are like, he's the franchise quarterback. Well, you know, in Kansas City, you guys know what a franchise quarterback looks like. We don't here because it's been 100 years since we've actually had one, so people are a little bit crazy when it comes to figuring out who a franchise quarterback is. But the one thing that Heinicke actually does do is he also plays with sort of this mentality of, I'm playing with house money. Before that playoff game in Washington, signed him like a couple weeks before as an emergency quarterback. He was out of the league because the XFL had folded before that. He was in the XFL, and he was studying for finals at Old Dominion. I mean, that's really where it got for him. He thought he was done playing NFL football. So his mentality every week just kind of looks to be, I'm not supposed to be here anyway, so I'm going to go out, I'm going to have fun, I'm going to play confidently, I'm going to forget the mistakes that I make, and I'm going to move forward. And that can certainly be an advantage, but it can also be a detriment to him at times. We've got to be able to rein it in and make smarter plays at moments, but he can be very, very dangerous with his legs as well.
Nick, there's no greater lie that fans tell themselves that their very average quarterback is a franchise quarterback, because
it's all everybody does here. It's all that happens.
I even like Taylor Heinicke, but I don't know how you can watch him watch the other good quarterbacks in the league. So watch Mahomes, Herbert, Wilson, Rodgers, and then come away thinking, hey, you know what? Our guy's just as good as those guys. No, he's not.
Exhausting. It's exhausting. It happens all the time, and you get callers and tweets, and you're just like, you've got to watch the rest of these quarterbacks. I mean, we already saw Josh Allen this year. That's a franchise quarterback. That's not Taylor Heinicke, and you're just not going to get there. But, you know, look, everybody's so desperate to find the next Kurt Warner or, you know, even a Tony Romo or obviously Tom Brady. The great story, guys undrafted or a late-round pick and turns out to be a Pro Bowl quarterback and has all the success. Everybody wants that their quarterback to be that quarterback. The reason why those stories are so great is because you barely actually have those stories come to reality. And I think people are trying to just project that onto Taylor Heinicke right now. It's not as much as we had after the playoff game. I mean, it was. People were going nuts over that. This guy's the future. We found a secret weapon. Pump the brakes a little bit. He was terrible, in fact, against the Saints last week. But he has the ability to be certainly a very good quarterback as a backup moving forward for this franchise.
Right now, we're talking to Nick Ashew for a few more minutes. He covers the Washington football team for 106.7 The Fan in the nation's capital. Let's talk about the parts around Taylor Heinicke, running back Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin. It sounds like he could or could not play. I'm sure you'll tell us whether or what the status is for a player like him. I think Washington has good offensive weapons. I thought last year they had a capable defense. Doesn't sound like their defense is playing at the same kind of level this year. What do you think the parts around Heinicke?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly concern with now Terry McLaurin's on the injury list, and then you've got Antonio Gibson, who's been banged up the last couple of weeks. Those guys are their two most dynamic weapons right now offensively, because Curtis Samuel hasn't played at all for them this year. I mean, since they signed him, he's had a groin injury, really wasn't involved in anything in training camp, mini camp, preseason, came back a couple weeks ago. He's had limited snaps. Went out of the game last week. At this point, you just don't count him as part of the offense because he's barely been there. But Terry McLaurin is this team's offense. He's one of the best receivers, just going up and getting footballs in coverage. He's so good at that because he's used to it, because he's getting double teamed half the time because you don't have a lot of other consistent weapons for this team offensively. That's why Washington went and got Curtis Samuel, but you haven't had him. You've got Adam Humphrey, who actually had, 73 yards receiving last week. He's a nice weapon out of the slot for them. Antonio Gibson can be very dynamic. He really was mostly a receiver in college. He spent very little time actually running the football, but they've made him their feature back. Ran the ball 20 times last week, had a couple of touchdowns. So when the ball is in Antonio Gibson's hands, he can make plays, but he only had 60 yards rushing. So I wish they would run him more, but it just seems like that's not what they want to do. But I get that, you know, Scott Turner, the offensive coordinator, would prefer to pass more. It's a pass-happy league. I get that. But, you know, you're putting a lot of pressure on somebody like Taylor Heinicke to make plays and throw the ball 40-something times, and you're bound to have some more mistakes out of that. But, you know, if they have Antonio Gibson banged up continuously, and then on top of that, Terry McLaurin not 100% healthy, there's really not much left. Logan Thomas has been out and going to be out for at least a couple more weeks with an injury, so you're missing your top tight end. It's just tough. They went out and tried to address the wide receiver spot a little bit, but they've just dealt with weapons and then inconsistencies from, like, De'Ami Brown, their rookie wide receiver. So it's just, like, nothing's really added up for this team. There's all these expectations, and people are like, this may be a year. The national media loves Washington this year. Oh, that's probably a bad sign. And sure enough, it's just like one thing after the other starting to pile up, from a bad defense to now injuries starting to pile up for them.
So if Washington is able to pull off this upset, what needs to happen for the football team to be able to do that?
We could take a miracle, possibly Patrick Mahomes not showing up to the game at all. If we tell him it's a Monday night game and he shows up then, maybe that's the only way. I just don't see any chance that Washington wins this game. And maybe I'm jaded because I've watched so much of these failures from them this year. I would hammer the over in this because we know neither team can really play any defense. So that's certainly a great play for you there. But there's just no way that they're going to stop Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes, and watching Landon Collins and Bobby McCain, their two safeties, just constantly get beat in coverage. It's a recipe for disaster with all of the weapons that you guys have in Kansas City. It really just comes down to somehow, some way, they finally wake up and that defensive line is able to pressure Patrick Mahomes on a consistent basis and really get 3 to 4 sacks in this game. They have the talent to be able to do it. They're just not doing it.
Last thing here, Nick, how much this week has been about the offseason things with Washington versus on the field? Because it has been so much turbulence and toxicity and whatever T word you want to use surrounding that franchise for the last 10 days or so. How much are you guys even are talking about the actual football game on Sunday?
I'm exhausted. This team just makes me so tired. Yesterday, the local show that I did with the first 2 hours was only this. And it's just, there's always something new. And you have to talk about it because it is the biggest story surrounding the team. But it's just one thing after the other. The DEA raiding their head trainer's home and then the facility last week. And then you've got this John Gruden stuff and the emails turning into everything going back on Washington because that was part of the investigation. And then the Sean Taylor number retirement that they used to basically suppress the other story so people would divert their attention the other way. And fans are so smart now. They've seen this a million times. They're like, what are you doing? You're using Sean Taylor's name to divert the attention from all the stuff you're in the news for right now? It's just, look, Jason Wright is the new team president. He seems like a very smart guy. Ron Rivera seems like somebody that does run a very tight ship. And really, everything felt great the first year. But stuff's starting to circle back again, and you're just going, I thought we had adults in charge. Why are you making these poor decisions again? Now, granted, everything with the emails was long before anybody that's there now, other than, of course, the owner, who's the real true problem of the organization. But it's just, everybody's so tired of it, and this fan base is just mentally drained from the whole thing, and it just used to be such a proud franchise, and it just feels like 100 years ago. I'm from the generation that didn't even really see any of those successful years, so it's even worse for me. I'm just stuck being a fan of this team. It's my dad's fault, and I tell him it every week, and I grew up, and now I'm covering the team, which makes it even worse. But it's just, let me say this. Be very happy that you have something so functional, even with what's gone on this year so far in Kansas City, because it could be a lot worse.
I always say this, Nick, and I'll get you out of here. All of us have our Washington football team. Like, I cheer for the Missouri Tigers. We have the same moments that you're dealing with right now. Now, maybe not to that this extent. No. This is an extreme extent. But everybody who is a sports fan has this version of a team in their life. Believe me, it will be okay.
I'm trying my best. This team just makes me drink. That's the problem.
That is Nick Ashew joining us on the show today. You can catch his work for 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C. Nick, man, good talking to you, man. Thanks for hopping on today, man.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. That is Nick Ashew joining us on the show. Rob, I tell you this all the time. Everybody has their Missouri Tigers. You have your Missouri Tigers. It's not the KU football team. You love United States men's soccer. You are hopeful about United States men's soccer. The only country you can beat is Mexico. I don't know anything about soccer, but that's the only country I know that the United States can beat in soccer. You keep hoping they're going to do better. They're never going to do better. Washington, until you get a new owner, this is your organization. You just got to live with it. There's going to be ups. It's going to be a lot of downs. Everybody has their Missouri Tigers. As a Missouri Tiger fan right now, I'm getting really hopeful that they have a chance to get the number one wide receiver group. He ain't coming to Missouri. I know he's not. I'm still hopeful. I'm still excited. I'm still going to be watching the Instagram live. I don't care if it happens during the show, I'll be watching it. We will go live to Luther Burden's announcement. I don't care if I'm the only person listening to it. We'll go live to it. We do way worse things on the show than that. We will go live to the Luther Burden announcement just because I want to hear it live. Everybody has this in their life. Now, Washington might be the worst. Like, they are the dregs of it. They are the worst. Washington is the worst non-Detroit Lions organization in American sports. The Lions are on a different wavelength than everybody else. Like, at least if you cheer for Washington, you at least have some positive memories. No one that cheers for the Lions has a positive memory. Not a single Lions fan has a second of happiness cheering for that team. But everybody, this is just part of being a fan. You got to endure it at some point.
I resent that mine's the U.S. men's national team because the golden generation is upon us, Carrington.
No, I mean,
the golden generation is here.
You sound just like whenever Missouri fans get really excited about a certain recruiting class. That class ain't changing anything. That class isn't changing anything. You're going to be a 9 seed in the NCAA tournament and lose in the second round to Gonzaga. Like that's the best that class is going to do. Your golden generation might get you out of the knockout round in the World Cup. That might be the best they do. That's the ceiling of what your country can do in soccer.
Golden generation, Carrington. Don't steal my joy. I have so little with U.S. men's soccer, but you're right. Every fan base is, there's a fan of someone who's Missouri Tigers. You're right, though. The difference between being a Missouri Tiger fan is that you feel like maybe this coach or maybe that coach or maybe this AD can get it done. As long as Dan Snyder's in charge, the Washington football team, there should be no reason for hope. Zero reason for optimism. Zero excitement. That brain trust went out and ruined RG3's career. Ruined it. Stole the NFL fans of joy because the Shanahans and Dan Snyder were in charge. Yuck. The whole thing is yuck.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we will get to more important news. But we have some potential breaking news, Rob. First, we got to give you the backstory. I mean, that's number one. I can't just give you the breaking news without giving you the backstory. Oh, you guys remember?
He's my old apprentice. I actually made him famous. You know, gave him the name Red Extreme. I saw him come run up the stairs at me, and he had that look, I'm going to kill you. And so I, like, tried to grab his jersey to stop him and talk to him, and he, like the movie Friday, he deboed me one punch, and I saw stars. And they took me to triage at Arrowhead, checked me out. I felt all right at the time, but then I didn't know I'd broke my ribs.
So that was, at this point, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what day it was. It was some point earlier this week. Rob, you got to hit some sad music here. This is from the official Twitter account of X Factor. I have been permanently banned from Arrowhead Stadium. A 32-year run has come to an end. I leave being inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The man who brought a divided fan base together with 2 Guinness World Records for the loudest stadium in the world God bless and Godspeed. I will miss thousands of fans from all over the world wanting to meet me and get pictures and autographs. I'll miss taking over 600 kids with cancer, disabilities, etc., and their families to the games for free. Your beloved X Factor. Now, couple of things. If they're going to take X Factor out of the Hall of Fame, can they put Jamal Charles in his place? Like, if we lose one guy in the Hall of Fame as a Kansas City representative, are we able to then just submit somebody else who maybe won't get into the Hall of Fame and we can have him take his place? Because I would just vote for Jamal Charles to take X Factor's place in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, I'm not here to knock anybody's accomplishments. X Factor believes that he is the man who brought together the Chiefs fan base. The man who brought together a divided fan base with two Guinness World Records. That was X Factor? He did that for us?
What were we divided over? What was the Chiefs fans' division? How did he heal
us? Pioli. He got Pioli fired.
Well, I must have missed that story.
He got Todd Haley fired. That must be what he's telling us.
It's not how I was. I mean, I was around. I don't remember it going down like that, but good for him.
He will miss thousands of fans from all over the world wanting to meet him and get pictures and autographs. Now, it's funny because we actually had planned to talk about X Factor in a different way because he said that there have been some lies told about him and he was going to do everything in his power to get these lies removed from the interwebs. But now we have the real update. Chiefs said, we don't want you back. Now, I don't know what kind of investigation happened with Arrowhead, and I'm sure it was thorough. But that's a rough go of it for X Factor. He's had a real rough week. You got in a car accident. You then see your arch nemesis at the game. He, Ron Artest, Jermaine O'Neal, Falcon punched you at the game. You then got memed and mocked. Your team got beat by 18 on Sunday Night Football. And now they're telling you you can't go to the stadium anymore? Nobody has lost more over the last 7 days than X Factor. Nobody. Not a single one of us have lost more over the last 7 days than X Factor. They took away his identity. You can't be X Factor anymore if you can't go to the game. He's the real X Factor, EX Factor. A 32-year run is coming to an end, Rob. He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's right there next to Peyton Manning and Dan Marino and Johnny Unitas and Walter Payton. There's X Factor. He's part of the Chiefs kingdom. You guys aren't going to rally together to save X Factor? I see all these petitions going around, all these GoFundMes. We now have to start a GoFundMe to get X Factor at road games. That could be the X Factor for the Chiefs on the road. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get this team over the hump? He brought a divided fan base together. And now in his time of need, you leave him high and dry. Not on my watch. I'm happy, Rob, that we're bringing awareness to this story. Permanently banned. Not even for the rest of the season. They couldn't even tell my man to calm down for the rest of 2021. Like, hey, you know what? Come back next year and we'll have this conversation. Nope, you'll never be able to come back to the games. Ever. What? How do you think that works when you get permanently banned from the stadium? Like, do they have your picture up somewhere? Like, let's say that X Factor just goes in as like a regular civilian. Let's say that they make him officially retire his cape. They make him officially retire his red cheese hat. And they say, all right, you got to go to the game as like a regular person. Are they going to just stop him at the gate? Like, how does that work? I've never been banned from anywhere.
I mean, nowadays, you have to put the tickets on your phone, right? It's connected to a name, right? That's how he got banned, I assume? I also am curious when he said thousands of fans found him for autographs.
Thousands!
Sickos! What thousands of people were like, hey, there's a fan. I'd love his autograph.
How do you get banned for you getting beat up? Now, if there's anybody that should be banned, it should be Red Extreme. He should be banned.
Makes me think that water bottle was maybe a little bit more than the water bottle toss.
How you get banned for getting beat up? I'm the victim, he should say. He's the victim.
Deontay Wilder has also been banned from that arena.
That man got dropped like a rock. Oh, like a rock. Permanently. You'll never come back to the games. Not a preseason. Not a Garth Brooks. Not a monster truck jam. You can't even drive on I-70 anymore. Go the other way. They got X-Factor out of here. Hall of Famer.
Is Red Extreme still allowed in? Red Extreme knocked a man out and no repercussions.
Red Extreme might beat the drum for the next game. He might beat the drum.
Monday Night Football at GEHA Field. Get ready. It's Red Extreme.
He's not even going to use that mallet. He's going to punch it. Boom, 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 boom. That's what Red Extreme going to do. He already banged the drum on X Factor's head. He's going to bang the drum for the stadium next. All right, keep it locked there right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.